Yeah, the topic of today's shiur is Minhagei Tefila. Minhagei Tefila. Okay. So we know that Tefila is a, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day. Mitzvah daraisa to daven. So we assume that you fulfill that mitzvah daraisa in Shachris. Even though the day starts at night in Judaism, but the mitzvah d'oraisa is fulfilled by shachris. That's why I believe Rav Shlom Kaberman, the Stipler son-in-law, in one of his Sfarim writes that you see from that the Isra of Lo Sochel Adam, the Isra of not eating before davening, is before shachris. There's a special Isra, you're not allowed to eat before davening, and that applies to shachris. By other tefillahs, there's also an Isra, but that's not Al Lo Sochel Adam. That's an Isser because you might eat a Suda, because you might forget to daven. So therefore, you get a heter if you have a minyan kavua, but you always daven in this minyan at this time, you can eat dinner, say before Maariv or before Shachris. Not before Shachris, before Mincha. But before Shachris, that's a... that's a special iser not to eat before Shachris. Even if it's not a suda, even a little bit, even to eat a snack, is also. The only thing that's clearly the poskim matter is water. The only thing that poskim clearly matter is water. And there's some poskim say that could be an iser deraisi even, of lo sochel adam. So davening is, according to Rambam, is a deraisa. The Ramban says davening. And the Rambam learns it out from the Gemara Titus. Gemara Titus, and Beis Amin Aleph, who will undo the call of Avchem. Ezahu, Zohi, Avoda, Shebelev, Zohi, Fibon. And the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says that that davening is only the Rabbanim. Maybe if there's a tzara, is the daraisa, like a time of war or something like that. But the regular davening is the Rabbanim. And the Ramban says davening is a daraisa, but not three times a day. In other words, once a day you fulfill the daraisa. So, and the chora, the pashas is the chiyuv of davening is even for women. Okay? Because women also have a chiyuv to daven. And like Rabbi Badi said to me, pashas is they have a chiyuv to daven three times a day. Just like men have a chiyuv to daven three times a day. Because the Mishnah says that they're in brachas, they're chayav b'tefillah. Women are chayav tefillah because tefillah is rachamim, and they need rachamim also. They need all the things that davening asks for. Women need just as men, much as men need. So they're chayav in davening also. That's why the Magen Avraham has this chiddush, where the Magen Avraham says that Magen Avraham says that that women say tchina in the morning, that's good enough. Tchina in the morning, and no way to say tchina, or shachar said maybe it's referring to moda'ani or something like that, and the yotzei davening with that. With tchina, and many women would follow this. They wouldn't have time to dive in the whole full Shmona Esrei or something like that. And they would just say tchina in the morning and be yotzei. Rav Shechter pointed out that the problem, I think, they say from Rav Soloveitchik also, was the Rambam says that davening d'oraisa has to have three elements. has to have Shevach. As the Rambam says, it needs three elements: Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodah. You have to praise God, you have to ask Bakasha, so then you have to have thanksgiving. So in the Shemoneh Esrei, we have all these things. We have the Shevach at the beginning, and we have Bakasha and Hodah. But in the Tchina, you have a little Tchina in the morning, no Daniel Fanecha, whatever, you don't have that. So that's Rav Shechter pointed out, and others point out, that that's not so partial. But the Magen Avraham does quote this this minhag. Some say from the Chafetz Chaim's wife, that's what they say, I don't know, and it's not there to verify this. You know, I should ask Rabbi Yankelovich. Rabbi Yankelovich is sitting shiva for his wife. Rabbi Yankelovich is an Arash Yeshiva here. He's one of the few people left in the world who actually saw the Chafetz Chaim. You know, there's not too many people so think of it. Some, you know, here in Yeshiva University, 2010, there's still somebody who saw the Chafetz Chaim. I should ask him about this, if he heard anything. But they say that she didn't daven, but she felt she was absolved from davening because she was raising her children, and there's a kind of mostly the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. So that's what's said over in the name of the Chav. So maybe perhaps together with that, together with the smoking of Rome. But Rav Abadi's told me he feels very strongly that women should daven. They have a chiyuv to daven Shmoneh Esrei, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. So they really should try to daven. It's interesting, like certain things women like are very into, like Shabbos Zohar. Women always into trying to get Parsha Zohar, and that Parsha they're not obligated with. But the Sefer Chinuch says they're not obligated in Zohar, because Zohar is to remember to do, and therefore wage war. Women are not benos mechama, so they're not really obligated in Parsha Zohar to Sefer Chinuch grants. But somehow that became a popular thing. So it's interesting that, you know how it works, it's always like this in life. Things that you really have to do, we don't do. Things that we don't really have to do, you know, because the reasons is that, you know, whenever, I think the Shem said from our lesson, you know, and the place of Tosis, whenever you have to do something, those always the Yitzhahara trying to get you not to do it. But you don't have to do something, so the Yitzhahara is not your body, because you're really not obligated to know. That's the idea that's Shefta, based on the Tosis and Kedushin, or Shefta said from the lesson, etc. But, so I always tell women that they should try to daven three times a day.
Is man in the loss of life?
Or well, yeah, but there's what it means.
Man chakras for
Man chakras, man milcha, man mar. They should try. Sometimes maybe it's not going to work out, but at least that should be their goal, to daven three times a day. There is a discussion in the posthum about Musaf, and women obligated in Musaf. So what's the idea of Musaf? So Musaf is different than the rest of the Tfilos, because the rest of the Tfilos are all about Bakashas. Musaf is not Bakashas. Musaf is just connected to Korban. Musaf is a Korban Tzibur, so if women aren't obligated Machtes HaShekel to be part of the Korban Tzibur, maybe they don't have to daven. That's a discussion of the difference. You know, there's a forgery of the Truvas Harash that discusses this, and others discuss this. But that's a discussion. But Rabbi Abadi thought pashtus they should daven Musaf too. So really, maybe they should try to daven. They have an obligation to daven. Okay. Now, So in davening, as you'll notice, there's a minhag to wear talis. Wear talisim in davening. Even though tzitzis is nothing to do with davening per se. Tzitzis is not a mitzvah, right? Right, it has nothing to do with that. Since this is not a mitzvah of davening per se, since this is the mitzvah of the whole day, but somehow it became the minhag to daven with tzitzis, with the talis. To daven with the talis. In fact, the Eben Ezra, there's a famous Eben Ezra in Shlach, where the mitzvah of tzitzis is. He says if it was up to him, he would institute the reverse. That you should wear your talis gadol when you're outside of davening. Because when you're davening, of course you're thinking about God. Right? Of course you're thinking about God. It's when you're not davening, you need to be reminded. So he thinks that it really should be the reverse. In fact, I remember once I was in Toronto. And I was going to call Elliot, who used to send us to different communities. I was in Toronto. I was staying by the late Rabbi Rafael Marcus. Was the Rabbi Shmuel Marcus' father, Alam HaShalom, the Ravine Salvatrix, son-in-law. And we were walking, I forget if it was on Shabbos or something, after davening or before davening, I forget. And then this man, who was just like, with his whole talis on, and a very... I don't know how to describe him. You know, one of these, like, you would see type of persons you would see, like, in the old city with the whole talis and the whole get-up and the whole thing. And Rabbi Marcus greeted him and said, when I see you, I think of an Eben Ezra. Because Eben Ezra says that really the main point of the talis is outside the shul, outside the davening, so you should think of the Ribon Shul. Yet the minhag is... The minhag became to associate talis with the davening. And then there's another minhag that the Magen Avraham has, and which was adopted in the Ashkenazi communities, and that was that only married people wear the talis, and often don't wear a talis during davening. And they say, Magen Avraham quotes drasha that in Parshas Kisetze it says he kachish isha, and right before that it says the pasuk of tzitzis dilim tasel chal abaka fos tzus asher chasava, and right there it speaks about he kachish isha. So there's a smichas between talis and between talis and marriage. Chor has nothing to do with the other. I once heard somebody, I don't know, one random day in the fifth floor of the library, somebody came over to me and said he has a drasha to say. And he says, because tzitzis is not a real chovah. You know, if you have a dalal kafos, you're supposed to wear tzitzis. It's not a real chovah, like tefillin. Tefillin's a real chovah, you have to put on tefillin. But the point is that certain things are not real chovahs, but the rosh of Hashem that we should do them. So he says, and that's what marriage is all about. You have to know what your wife wants, even if she's not asking you, and do this thing. So that's the that was the instruction, something like that. But that became the minhag. And Sfarim don't have this. Sfarim don't have this minhag. And Rav Shechta, if he says from their salvation, he thought that really Bachrim should wear a talis. Because why not? What does that have to do one with the other? Pasha says some say that which is more, this Magen Avraham is a nice idea if he makes it, but we don't really make drushas like this. We get a drusha, to say that there's a smichas between the Pasha's Kiseitse, between wearing a tzitzis and getting married, so there's some connection. Or tzitzis and marriage have nothing to do with one or the other. Right? So, this minhag that we have, that single boys don't wear talis, is
It's a little bit strange, but yet it's a minute. Most probably, as people pointed out, very practical. It was just a way of knowing who's married and who's not, to be able to know, you know, who to set up, or who, something like that. You know, it's just some practical type of thing. But whatever, that's a discussion. But that became one of the Benhagi Tefillah.
Yaki's where Talos before?
Yeah, Yaki's also. Svar and Yaki's, they were Talos. Now, once we're on the Talos issue, so it's very interesting to watch different people how they wear their talus, namely over the head, not over the head, etc. So it's definitely like a very, looks good when you put it on the head, it looks like a sign of. So where does this all come from? So the Bach, his opinion is that there's an Indian to cover your head, the whole davening, with the talus, because just for kavana. It's not making a din. Then Rav Schechter said over from Rav Soloveitchik that Schechter says from Rav Soloveitchik that whatever it's a Dovash of Kedusha, you cover. So in other words, whenever you get the part of the davening that you need a minion for, so that's what like, Rav Schechter will do, get to Kaddish or Barco and have the talus over the head. But when it's not a Dovash of Kedusha, you know, something that you, part of davening that you could do even if you didn't have a minion, like purpose kriya shema or something like that, then not. But any, it's hard to know. I think Rav Schechter said over the face of the Gemara, this hatif after baruch hu kashliach tzibur. But Meikir Adin, Rav Abadi told me he thought Meikir Adin. This is the only time that there's a real Indian to have your head covered with a talus is during Shemon Esrei. During Shemon Esrei, there's a special din of Atifa, that you're omid lefnei hamelech. And therefore, some folks can say that you shouldn't have a special covering above and beyond the regular covering that you have during the day. So really that's the way I'm going, like Ramani said. Maybe Kedusha also I do also, but I think what people seem to think is that it's a sign of piety. People, if you cover your head with the talus as opposed to not, and really that's not what piety is all about. It's not about covering your head with the talus. People think that that's what makes them a good Jew, so they have a lot to learn about Yiddishkeit. So I have to do it what the Iker Adin is, that just for short extra. I also do Kedusha, we'll get an Aliyah, I'm not prepared to cover during Marfu, during Kaddish, during this. I mean, that notion, as I said, Rav Schechter said from Rav Soloveitchik, that a Domash of Kedusha, you should have a Tifa.
When I got married, I did cover my head for Shemona Esrei. But it just annoyed me more than it helped. And someone said it's just for Kavana, and it was doing the opposite. So I guess if it's just for Kavana, it's not helping Kavana.
So, I mean, what's interesting, I'll tell you what's interesting also, is that the same people who are mapped to cover their head with the talus, for this or for that, you'll see them by Mincha, not necessarily covering their head with a double covering or something like that. So, a lot of it became just a social thing. And it just looks good to cover your head with the talus. It looks probe, it looks whatever, because if they really held it was a real din, so then they would make sure to have a hat to cover their head by mitzvah also. Because the same people that are covering their head for chakras are not doing it by, they're not doing it the same. Some are, but some are not, you know. So
that idea is over the Fnei, you know, over the Fnei HaMelech, that there's a special. So the only rabbinic point out, the only other time that you find such a thing of tifa is by benching. And Rabbi said that so the Chazal treated benching also like that's why people have a minute where they bench it, put on a hat or something like that. So there's a special cover to the benching. You have a Bible with that's like feeling. But that's the talus. So again, that became the minute to wear a talus for davening, and this idea of covering your head with the talus as well. And question of different times during the davening. Okay, let's talk about Amida, standing. So, we know during davening, so parts of davening we stand, parts of davening we sit, etc. So, when is there a real obligation to stand? I mean, we have all different types of things. We stand for this, we stand for that. So, the time, obviously, Shemot Esrei is obligated to stand. That's Amida. You're supposed to stand. When the Sefer Torah is being brought from the Aron to the Bima, that is an obligation to stand. When the Aron is just open, that's just a minute to stand. You know, like when the Aron is open for Adam's Mirus or for whatever, there's a minute to stand. But technically speaking, the Chiyuv of standing during is only when the Sefer Torah is moving towards the from one place to the other. It's still within your vision. Then you have to stand. So for Shmon Esrei, so that's Amida, that's for sure. You're Amid of Nei HaMelech. And Kedusha, I think. But the question is, other parts of davening. The big question is the Varim Shem Kedusha. Again, we said Varsha and Kedusha are things that you need a minute for, like Kaddish, Barco, all these things. You have to stand for Varsha and Kedusha. So this became a divide between Ashkenazim and the Sfarim. Ashkenazim, the minute is, Ashkenazim stand for Varsha and Kedusha. I mean, when someone say Kaddish and Shul, everyone stands. Right? Barco, etc. Don't you produce everyone stands. But Sfarim, it's not the case. But Sfarim, just the chazan standing, but everyone is sitting for cash. Right? Just for cash. But Kedusha, even Sfarim is standing, right?
Kedusha, and Kedusha?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But besides that.
I mean, except the ones that can.
Right. So the Sfarim only stand for Shmon Esrei. Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing else, right?
So, as opposed to what standing for the Chazar?
For the Chazar, for Barco, for Kaddish, for all these things. No, all they will say. Because there is a Yushalmi by Ehud Ben Gera that he said Shem Hashem, he stood up. So there's a Yushalmi, we don't even have it in the Yushalmi, that seems to say he stands for Dvar Shem Kedusha. So we don't have that Gersa. So. So that's the question. So Ashkenazim adopted this. Some say a lot of times, you know, poskim quote Yerushalmi, we don't find it in the Yerushalmi. And they say, well, Yerushalmi doesn't only technically mean Yerushalmi, some means some Midrashei Halacha someplace, like the famous Yerushalmi that says if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, your mazel will sleep. So we don't have that. Well, this Yerushalmi about standing for Dvar Shem Kedusha, we don't have it in the Yerushalmi. So some say it's not binding. So the Sfardim don't hold that you have to stand for Dvar Shem Kedusha. So they sit for Kaddish, except for the Chazik who's saying the Kaddish, or the person who's saying the Kaddish. So he stands. But for the rest of the Tzibur, sits. And it's only Ashkenazim who have this minhag to stand for Dvar Shem Kedusha. And then there's a discussion whether you're supposed to stand for laning. So some say laning is also Dvar Shem Kedusha. There's some poskim who hold like that. I think maybe the Ramah Mipanu with this tshuva. And some say no. I mean, especially if you hold that, because laning is might be considered a Dvar Shem Kedusha, you need a minion for laning, etc. And some say no, that. Some poskim, I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that even if you don't stand for laning, you should stand for the bracha, for the barchu of the laning. Okay? You should stand for barchu, but Sfarim hold that you don't even have to stand for Dvar Shem Kedusha. Right? So then that would include barchu also. So the only two times that there's a real chova to stand, like what Rabbani pointed out, is the Shemot Esrei and when the Sefer Torah is being transported. Everything else is the Tavim, etc. Which some communities have this minute and some communities don't have it. Where else did you stand for Kiddush Levanim? That's where Rav Shechter and his chinah to get into the kolo. He used to ask, you have to stand for Kiddush Levanim. So what does it say? Amar Abaye, Chazal say that you would have up the Hashchinah. So Amar Abaye, Hilchav Tzarek, Umeimer Me'umat. So since it's Kabbalah Sprei Hashchinah, you have to say it Me'umat. Kiddush Levana is considered Kabbalah Sprei Hashchinah. So therefore you have to stand. What else do you have to do for Kiddush Levana because it's considered Kabbalah Sprei Hashchinah? You have to go outside.
Dress nicely.
You have to go outside. The minhag is to do not to say Kiddush Levana. You can't do it from your window, Kiddush Levana. You're supposed to go outside to greet the Melech.
How are you going to do it inside?
Very simple. I'll tell you the enough community in a second. So listen. And the broad post can not only go outside, but you should if there's a warning by the building, there's a minute also to go past your warning to the totally outside, you're being metabolized to the Hashkina. There's a discussion, I discussed this with Rabbi Bari last year about Birkas Hachama. Did you do Birkas Hachama from inside? So I think he said Mikra Dini thought you could do it from inside. That Birkas Hachama is not considered Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina like Kiddush Levana is. And others in the community, Rabbi Ryport, Rabbi Yitzchak Ryport from Brooklyn, from Borough Park, is Lubavitcher from. So he wrote a whole kutras assuming that even Birkas Hachama is considered Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. But Ramani thought that Kiddush Levana is considered Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. So that's why you stand specifically for Kiddush Levana.
From Lakeland. It's not
you can't be Ashkenazi in the old.
No, I'm just
saying. Yeah. That's funny.
I don't know.
Ashkenazi and Goldstein.
My grandfather, he sits for Zashul Shatz, but for the first two Rachos before Kedusha, they might understand their difference, like why Shatz.
Maybe because he's, instead of having to sit down for getting up for again for Kedusha, he knows Kedusha's coming. So you want to talk about Chazar Hashatz? So Chazar Hashatz, Tashtus is, Pashtus is Yisit for Chazaris HaShas. That became like a minig in the oilum. Like if you're yeshivish or you're from, you stand for Chazaris HaShas. That became like a thing. But you see, the Baal HaMor says that the minig, Baal HaMor has been famous, that the minig is to be Yisit for Chazaris HaShas. Because the Baal HaMor says in Rosh Hashanah that the Tekiyas, we hold the Tekiyas to be Yusha, the first Tekiyas we day, and the movement are the ones during Musaf. But the Baal HaMor says, no, Tekiyas to be Yusha are the ones during Musaf, and the movement are the ones after Musaf while people are standing up ready to leave the shul. So why they call me Yusha, the ones during Musaf? Because he said, because during Chazaras HaShas, everyone was sitting. That's why it's called Tekiyas to be Yusha. That's what. So it became a minhag to stand during Chazaras HaShas, but it's not a chova. And Rav Soloveitchik even extended it. He has this idea that you should stand like Yadam Shmona Esrei with your feet together. So there are some people here in the yeshiva who are talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik that follow this practice, that they'll stand during Chazaras HaShas with their feet together because it's like a tefillah satzibur, etc. But the pashtus is not that way. Pashtus is not only you don't have to beat your feet together, you could even sit for Chazaras HaShas. There's no.
Yeah. Well, another question there too, this very morning. Is it Sheish, Yisbalim, and Tes Ainu? For Ezra and Zibur. All you need is six people for Shmon Ezra to be not committed and not able to answer?
For what?
For Shmon Ezra.
What do you mean?
Meaning, let's say you have six people dominating.
But really, you're supposed to wait to start the Chazaras HaShas. You're really supposed to wait for Chazan and nine other people.
So, what I'm saying is, to start the silent Shmona Esrei, let's say you have four guys who already doubt and they're sitting in the room.
So that's a Machlokas HaPoskim, whether to get the Kiyam of Tefillah B'Tzibur, you need 10 people davening. Or is it enough that six people are davening and four people are just sitting there learning, whatever? Do you get so that's the machloka. Moshe is the truth of the Kayyadim. The whole machloka is about that.
Well, those four guys are going to answer.
Yeah, in other words, there are two issues. In other words, the special din of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And you get a special chus if you daven in a minyan. Like Rav Shekel said, that your tefillahs have a better chance to be answered if you daven in the minyan. So the question is, does that mean you want 10 people davening, or is it enough to have 6 people davening and 4 could be learning or something like that? That you have. So you have to check. Rav Moshe has a true Chayyadim speaks about it, etc. Because Rav Moshe says that you get as a machlokas Sif pointed out, machlokas between the Rav Moshe and the Prima Godin, whether you to get the Tekiyah with Tefillah B'Tzibur, you have to start with everyone else. That seems to be the consensus of the Prima Godin. If you start your Silas Shmona Esrei with everyone else, that's called Tefillah B'Tzibur. With 9 other people, that's Tefillah B'Tzibur. And the Prima Godin says no. Even if you overlap a little bit, it's still Tefillah B'Tzibur, even if you didn't start with everybody. But they're still in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and you started while everyone else was in the middle, you still get, that's a Rav Moshe assumed. As long as you overlap, that's still called Tefillah B'Tzibur as well. I mean, there is a din that by Shacharis, if you know that you're going to start Shmona Esrei, you're going to miss Kedusha, then you're supposed to wait by Shira Chadasha and not start till after Kedusha. Right, so if they're holding by the very end, you're not supposed to start Shmona Esrei. You're supposed to wait, and you'll answer parts of Kedusha, Kadosh, Kadosh, Berkavot, and then you'll say you're on Shmona Esrei. But say, that's the people that see. Now, another important part of Hagit Tefillah is Nusach HaTefillah. You know, there's various Nuschaos. There's Ashkenaz, there's Sfar, there's Sahari, all these different Nuschaos at Tefillah. Rav Moshe has a discussion about the. He writes, you're allowed to change from. Question whether you're allowed to change your Nusach. Usually you follow whatever Nusach your father did. You know, the Nusach of your father. Did you change the Nusach? So Rav Moshe felt that the original Nusach was Ashkenaz. And Sfar, the later, you know, Hasidim, and they followed their Rizal and Kubalim, so they were the Mechadshim. So Rav Moshe felt that to go from Nusach Ashkenaz to Nusach Sfar, maybe it's a problem, but going from Sfar to Ashkenaz, that should be okay, because you're just going back to the original Nusach. Because that was the original. Ashkenaz was the original. The Sfar,
Nusach, not Minha. You're referring to Nusach. But now we should add to that. Even Minhag Ashkenaz can go to Minhag Sfar. Because Minhag Sfar was before.
We're
not going to get into that discussion.
You know, normally you should follow the Minhagim of your father. So sometimes it can be a problem. You have different schools, but there's a different opinion. If you're davening in a shul that davens Ashkenaz and you're davening Nusach Sfar, should you daven there Nusach or not? So Rav Moshe has a thing that he says you should follow their Nusach because you know it doesn't sound right. It's then you're gonna just. So especially the parts that you could say a little bit aloud. So I think he says the Shmuel Esrei doesn't. You're going to say softly, so no one's going to know the difference. But the rest of the davening, if you say it your nusach, it's going to look funny. But others disagree. I think Rav Abadi said from the Chavanish, you can daven your own nusach. So usually, I feel that you can daven your own nusach. Maybe for Kedusha, you should answer their Kedusha. But don't daven loud. Daven softly so it doesn't look strange.
A few shuls in Israel, they just come with the side, which gets up there, wherever he davens, that's what most of the chakras can be sparred. And most of it sometimes is Ashkenaz, I think. Weird. Regular Chazan davens, that's
weird.
I've only seen it in Israel, but it seems a bit weird.
Yeah, it is a bit weird. Yeah, it depends. If there's a shul that's a kavua, like a oilum, some shuls are just like factories that people are just walking, coming in and out, and it's not a real, it's not like you're in Israel where there's a congregation, a membership, and there's the rules, and there's
So as a set shul in a moshav somewhere, like that was like the shul's gonna like you know on the yeah. Moshav. Whoever got up there.
Whoever got up there, you do what you want.
They children or something. Okay. I've seen.
So I guess.
So that's the story of Nusach.
Okay. Now the next thing I wrote here is Mechitza. So we know that when we daven in shul, we have a mechitza between the men and the women. So the question is, what is the point of the mechitza? So Shachter pointed out that mechitza is really a din in the shul more than the davening. Because we know if you daven in the airport, there's no mechitza. So Shachter pointed out the chazal. In the pasuk in Shmuel, where Chana says, "Anochi ha'isha hanitzeves imcha How's that? The Tana was davening, right? And she said, I am davening with you, Imcha. And Imcha spelled, Shmuel spelled like this. Ayin Mem Chaf Hey. The normal way of spelling Imcha is without Hey. So what's the Hey? So Chazal say the Hey is to say that she was 5 Amos away from the men. She wasn't within the men Dalan Amos. She was 5 Amos away from the men. And so that's where Shefa pointed out, that the Iker Din of Tefila is that women, in other words, if a man is 5 Amos or a woman is 5 Amos away from each other, they're not within Dalan Amos, then you can die. It's not a problem because the woman there, because the woman is not close to you. So then why do you need a pizza for? Just have separate sections, right? So Rav Shaka pointed out that there's a special din in the shul that you should have a mechitza. Like, similar to the Beis HaMikdash, where there was separate place for the men, separate place for the women, etc. And then this Machlokes Haposkim, what is necessary for a mechitza. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that the point of mechitza is that the men and the women should not mingle. In other words, it doesn't have to be that the men can't see the women, the women can't see the men. It's just that they shouldn't mingle. So he felt that shoulder height is sufficient. Because it's hard, if you want to schmooze with somebody and there's a wall between you, shoulder height, it's not conducive, right? You're not going to have a good conversation over a wall that's shoulder height. Right, so you won't be able to mingle. So once you have a mechitza shoulder height, that's good enough. And the Satmar Rebbe thought that's incorrect. Satmar Rebbe thought that the purpose of a mechitza is that either gender should not be seeing each other. Either gender should not be seeing each other. So therefore, he felt that he always has to have. So it was very simple. To know whether a mechitza is good or not is, could you see the women and can you see the men? Very simple. Rav Moshe says it's mingling, so therefore Rav Moshe held that you can have a balcony. So a balcony already is not, so you don't have to have a balcony so high that you couldn't see the men. Because there's no, you're not going to be able to mingle with somebody who's in the balcony. So he felt that was okay, and the Sama Rebbe said no. I mean, it's a question of there's a Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos, because in the Beis HaMikdash they put up a balcony on Sukkos, right? Because what happened on Sukkos? Sukkos was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So there's all types of celebrations in the Beis HaMikdash. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva was the celebrations that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So where were the celebrations? They were in the Ezra's Noshim. So that means that the men went into the Ezra's Noshim. So where were the women? So they had to build on the top of the wall, they would put an extension and the women would be here and the men would be, you know, all down in the Ezra's Noshim. And the women, they would build the verse says M'sakhu Tikkun Gadol. They would make an extension platform. So the women would be on top of that platform. It's like a piece of wood coming out of the wall. The women would be on top, the men would be at the bottom. And the Rambam says that they made it so the women shouldn't even see the men. So that's what the Satmar Rebbe says, and see from that Rambam in the Perish Mishnah is that you're not allowed to see each other. That's part of the din of Mechitza, is that neither gender should be able to see each other.
So what is Rosh Hashanah's response to the Rambam's
action? Yeah, so I don't know if, you know, okay, so it's around the Tesh Mishnah, so I don't necessarily, maybe Rosh Hashanah doesn't feel it, but the Rambam, you have to look at the truth to see if he responds or. I mean, just because the Rambam said in the Perish Mishnayos certain thing doesn't mean that's the final word on it. But he might have something he would say to that, but that's So that's the machlokas. So that what is the mechitza in shul all about? Some say over that I don't know if it's that the Rav said it or didn't say it, about just having a mechitza of ten tefachim, because that's the technical mechitza in Hilchas Shabbos. So, 10 tefachim is very short. So these, some of the opinion that you can daven, so you really shouldn't daven in a shul that doesn't have a mechitza. Some say that if you're just there for one time, like you're just there for a bar mitzvah, you could, you could daven in such a shul. Because really, mitzad davening, he said, as long as you, like Rav Shechter pointed out, as long as you're not within four amos, it's okay. Well, the question is, mitzad hilchas shul, there should be. So if you're a member of the shul, then it's a question to be davening there. But if you're not a member, you're just coming for one Shabbos for a simcha, so then you could perhaps daven there. But if there's mixed pews, then I don't know if there's real heter to daven there at all. If there's mixed seating, so then the question is, can you walk in? There's a separate question, but you definitely shouldn't. You definitely shouldn't daven there. You know, Rav Soloveitchik at one point was of the opinion that to go to a conservative shul on Rosh Hashanah to hear the shofar, even that would be the only place you could hear the shofar, is better not to hear the shofar. Like, that was as far as he went, and that, that's a pretty bold statement. That, you had that?
I know.
Yeah. So, but that's always been, controversy in shuls about hiring, making a long mechitza, higher mechitza, etc. Someone wrote a whole book, The Sanctity of the Synagogue, on all the different responses and essays on this topic of the mechitza in the shul. Because, today it's not as much of an issue as it was 30, 40 years ago, where Orthodoxy was first getting firm in America. Now already, it's not so much, like Rav Lichtenstein said, it's not so much of a battle as it was then. But we discussed in last year the Mos Aleichu, a lot of things that they do in the shul, like is patterned after the Beis Hamikdash, like the Chasam Sofer says, like having the Bima Be'emtza, etc. And in the conservative reform shuls, they used to have the Bima in the front. And some say a lot of Rabbanim signed on that you can't walk into such a shul, because that was the minhag of the church. All came from the church to have the altar in front. And Rav Moshe was the one who said that Bismarck said you could walk into such a shul, which was a chiddush. Because I remember growing up, that was an issue in shuls. They had to beam in the front. And there was a whole fight over that, because, they were focused about these things. Because in Rav Moshe, basically matter to going into these shuls, even though this was understood by the Rabbanim of yesteryear in Hungary, that's, Mamash not allowed to go into such a shul, or having a wedding in a shul, Rav Moshe forbidden. And that also was part of, understood by the Hungarian rabbinate, that you're not allowed to have a wedding in a shul because it came from the church, that they had weddings in the church. In fact, Rav Lifshitz, from David Lifshitz, used to be a Rosh Yeshiva here in the Yeshiva. He would not go to a wedding, even of a Talmud, if it was in a shul. Because that was his tradition, but you don't go to a wedding in a shul, that's chukas achim. And Rav Moshe was making all of that also. Big chiddush. The Moshe says it's only for Chasachim if they have the wedding in the church. But if they have a wedding, Moshe was made on a lot of things that were assumed that were usher by the Hungarian rabbi. You know, we're not talking about big Rabban, you know. Moshe was considered like a maverick, you know, that he mattered all these things, you know, that in certain communities are considered very important, Chol Yisrael and things like that. That Moshe was certain circles that Moshe is considered, you know, the modern person. You understand that he mattered all these all these things that in other communities these things are war, or in some places are still totally us. You know, there's a discussion of the women's role in the shul. You know, that became an issue, you know, started Toshin Ben Hay, the initial tshuva about women's prayer groups and things like that. So my view is that the best is to have the traditional situation where the women are in the Ezra's Noshim, the men are Ezra's Noshim, and I don't think there's a need for all these innovations. I think it just brings problems. And no woman should think that they're treated, you know, in any low fashion because they're not a participant in the service. That's just a different, different roles, like Rabbi Wilk says, different roles for different, this became an issue of women's hakafos and women's this and women's that. So the best thing is to always maintain the old Masorah, because a lot of it is not coming from within, it's coming from without. From the secular society of women's lib and things like that, and all those ideas. So even though these women could be very sincere, and are very sincere, but minhagim was, I'll tell you a story. I have a friend, he's a very big Talmud Chacham in Williamsburg. So, Satmar, or Chaim Talmud Gutman, a very big Talmud Chacham. So I call him before Yontif to wish him good Yontif when the Erev Pesach. So I kept calling, he's not home. So I said to my wife, you know why he's not home? I said, why is he not home? Because he's busy baking matzahs. Because Hasidim are makpid to have matzahs baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So I'm sure he's still baking his matzahs. That's why he's not home. Sure enough, I finally got through to him right before Yontif. He said, yeah. And then he said to me, minhagim is what keeps us going. You know, people think, oh, it's only a minhag. It's only like Rabbi Yeshua Bickman said, no, minhag. I think they say from Rabbeinu Tam, minhag is osius what gehenim. Minhag is the same osius as gehenim. We don't change minhagim. With Mariel discussed about changing the tunes on Yom Kippur. And they were changing the tune, and someone died, and they attributed the tragedy to changing the minhagim. So, just to change a minhag is not something that we deal with lightly. Like a minhag is something that's it's important, and especially in Golas and things like that. So that's what Rav Gutman was saying to me when I finally got through to him at Erev Pesach. He's saying, the minhag is what keeps us going. And that's, even though technically speaking, most Rishonim hold, some Shitas Rishonim hold that you can only be Yotzei Matzah from the Erev Pesach Matzahs. That's the Rashi, if you go to the Or Zeruah. And we hold that you can be Yotzei with any Matzahs. But if you're in the Hasidim world, they're very makpid that the Matzahs they use at the Seder should be baked in Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So, Minhagim is. someplace I think I once saw the name of Reb Tzadok that that basically Bizman Hazeh, you know, the Torah Shebaal Peh was written down. So what's the real Torah Shebaal Peh Bizman Hazeh? Is the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is the real Torah Shebaal Peh today. And that's and that keeps us our identity, you know. So not, you know, to keep Minhag Yisrael and different Minhagim that are brought down and Poskim and Shulchan Aruch, and especially, you know, Minhag Tefila, that you know, that if the Minhag Yisrael was all throughout the generations is to do it a certain way, then that's the way. That's the way we do it. You need a Gadol Hador to if you want to change from what Klal Yisrael was doing, you need someone with broad shoulders. You can't just be a bunch of people that think you know Klal Yisrael did certain things certain ways. So so all these innovations, even though there are many people that have good intentions, but it's not enough to have good intentions. You need to have guidance. I'll tell you from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Okay, what does Rav Chaim Volozhiner say? Al shlosh advarim ol omed al Torah v'al avoda v'al gmilus chasadim. So he says, gmilus chasadim has to be dictated by what the Torah considers gmilus chasadim. For example, before the Torah was given, it's a tremendous chesed. If somebody needed money, I'd lend him money and he charged him interest. Ethically, that's fine. It was just like if I, like Rosh Hashanah, if I rent a car, so I have a right to charge you for the rental. So I have a charge to, if I lend you money, so I have charge the right to charge for the rental of the money. So that's what Rimbus is. But once the Torah came and the Torah said that this no longer is a chesed to charge someone, it's an issa. So the Torah dictates what is a chesed and what, in other words, a lot of times people just think on their own, oh, this is good, this is not good, this innovation we like, but they don't look at the Torah to say, what is the Torah view of this? And it says in Maseches Machos that Rabbi Akiva, when he first became knowledgeable, so he was he came into the Beis Medrash one day and he was telling the Rabbanim how he did a tremendous mitzvah, that he saw a dead body in the middle of the street, right? And he schlepped it along many, many miles till he brought it to the cemetery. And he was telling the rabbi, so the rabbi said to him, you know, every step you did was an avera. Because the din is, when it's a meitz mitzvah, a dead body that doesn't have someone to bury it, you're supposed to bury it on the spot. Meitz mitzvah kana makomo. So every step you took was an avera. In other words, you thought you were doing chesed, but the chesed has to be dictated what the Torah says is chesed. So the same thing, in other words, a lot of people have these ideas, and it all comes from not having a proper mesorah. See, I'll tell you one yesod. Why do we go to yeshiva? What's the purpose? Especially with Bizman Hazeh, everything's online. So you can, you can get everything in English, you can get all the law school, you can get all the shas. You get all these shiurim, you can live, last you 10 lifetimes. So what's the point of going to yeshiva? There's one point, and that is to connect with a rav. You know, to have a mesorah. It's not necessarily sometimes you get a rav someplace else, but it's an opportunity to have a connection with a mesorah. With a, you know, that he learned by him, or learned by him. You know, sometimes you get your rav who's not in yeshiva, another rabbi but it's always important to be grounded in religious life, especially when you're going to get married, you're going to start your own home, you have to see who you're going to ask your shilas to, who you're going to, you know, all these new shilas are going to come up, and all this need, and all this kashrus, and all this, you need, it's not always something that we can just say, this seems right. No, you need a mesorah. And that's the whole problem with all these innovations, is it's basically people just using their own common sense and thinking, oh, we should do this, we should do that, we should have this type of innovation, that type of innovation, and they don't have any mesorah to fall back on. And minhagit and tefillah is one aspect where we need a besorah to know what's proper and what's improper. And just for us to think of it on our own is not something that we should be doing. Okay. Back to Chazar Shashatz a little bit. Some have a minig to have a Haifa Kedusha by Mincha. And that's, you know, started in the yeshivas because they didn't want to mevatel too much time and they didn't have a full Chazar Shashatz by Mincha. In fact, even in Lakewood, even Bezman Azeh, they still have a Haifa Kedusha. They don't have a full Chazar Shashatz. The only time in Lakewood that they have a full Chazar Shashatz is certain days during Chanukah. Because they say Al Anisim out loud. I once heard in the name of Rav Bix Atzal that he felt that the din of Chazar Shashatz is only in the base Knesset Kavua. But if it's not in the base Knesset Kavua, then you can just do the Haifesh, you know, the short Shmon Esrei. Because the whole point is of Chazar Shashatz is people who weren't Bucky would come to people who are not Bucky would come to hear the Chazar Shashatz. So they're only going to come to a shul. They're not going to come to the Marina Del Rey to hear Chazar Shashatz. So when if I'm beside a Kedusha, if I'm in charge, then by Chassan's Tish, I don't go for this full Chazar Shashatz. I'll insist on Shmort Shemron Esrei for Mincha. Unless there's a reason why they need to stall, like sometimes they're waiting for someone to come before they start the chuppah, and he's sitting in some traffic. But I'm charged, so I have that they shouldn't have a full Chazar Shashatz. And that's what I heard in the name of Rav Moshe Bix Atzal, that the din of Chazar Shashatz is in shul, not in when you have a kabbinyan in a wedding hall or someplace else. And some have that minhag that they don't have full Chazar Shashatz in those places or in mincha, etc. Only to have it in when you're in a base Knesset Kavua. But of course, a base Knesset or base Medrash is the Iker Makom for Tefillah. You know, even though Tefillah really can be any place, if it's as long as it's clean, you have it in the base Knesset or a base Medrash. That's why the Tosefta says in Bava Metzia that it's a chiyuv on every community to have a shul. It's not enough that there's nice people in the community and say, oh, you can have my basement, or you can have my basement. No, because a basement is not a shul. Unless you say, we're going to only use this basement now for a shul, and not can use it for anything else, then you can make it into a shul. But if it's basically the whole week, you're using it for mundane things, and you just say, oh, you can come, you know, and use my basement on Shabbos or... you know, different times, that doesn't make it a, you know, it's an Indian that the shul should have a base knesset that's miyuchad for only for tefillah. And that helps the, so that's why the minhag is that we daven in a shul for a base medrash. So the kedushas makom should aid to the tefillah. Yeah.
How would you balance having a shul in a person's house and like, against like zoning restrictions
of
community, you know, when it's mostly probably not permitted.
Well, yeah, so you shouldn't have a shul if it's the zoning, you have to get permissions. You know.
It's a long fight and you end up getting permission.
What?
What if it's like a long fight and you end up getting a permit?
So you get a permit, you got a permit. Would you? It depends on the situation. Why are they having it in this person's, you know, for what purpose? Is it that they can't afford to build a shul? Is it there's a breakaway? Like, what are we talking about?
A breakaway.
A breakaway. So the question, you know, some breakaways are good and some are not good. Sometimes it's not, you know, it's too much dissension in the shul, and the healthy thing is to have a breakaway. And sometimes a breakaway is usher. So you need someone to paskin on every situation, whether the breakaway is proper or improper. You know, they say, like in every Jewish community, there's always the shul you daven in and the shul that you don't daven in. You know, I've seen that a lot. I just came out with a sefer in Imre Baruch Bamidbar, so I have a piece in Parshas Balak where it discusses the bracha of Matovu. So you should take a look there about the Bilam gave that bracha. So one of the mefarshim says that he wanted the shuls to thrive. Ah, well, such a tzaddik Bilam, because he knew that that's where the ikar machlokas of Jews become. In the shuls, shul is a vehicle for achdus, is a vehicle for machlokas. So it has to. That's why it's very important that the tefillah, would be important. Rav of the shul is very important. That the right shidduch be between the congregation and the rabbi. Sometimes the rabbi has to be a rabbi who fit, just like any shidduch, a husband and a wife. Has to fit for each other. So the shul also has to pick a rabbi that's fit for them. Some rabbis are fit for a certain shul, not fit for another shul. And that's a very important part of tefillah, is the idea of the community, of the congregation, of the Beis Knesses, and who's going to lead the Beis Knesses, etc. Okay, Rabosei. Next week, Bez Hashem, is the last shiur for this man. And Rekas Kohanim. And